Siyata Dishmaya, we're here in Shar Yichud Tzfat, and we're going to continue our series on connecting to Tzaddikim, which we haven't touched in a good week and a half or so. So Bezat Hashem, last time we talked about connecting to them through love and going to the kever of a Tzaddik and all the different things. And now we're going to try to clarify and touch on the subject today, which Tzaddikim should we be connecting to? What are we looking for exactly? Who are these people? What are we trying to do? Who are we trying to connect to? Bezat Hashem, we'll see how far we get into the chapter. Tzadik umi shekvar gamar et milchemet ayetzer. The tzadik is someone who already finished the war of the yetzer. He's already done fighting the inclination. In the beginning, we have to understand again, what is this idea of tzadik? First things first, Rav Chaim Vital. It's the first source we're going to go into in Sha'arei Kedusha, in the gates of holiness, right in here. In the holy city of Tzfat, Rav Chaim Vital says like this in the book: "Kasher itvu bo kol amidot atovot b'teva gamur, when all of the good traits become impressed into the person's soul, meaning that's what they are. Their nature, right? Nature and impression in the same word in Hebrew. Their nature is that they're good. Their nature is they see something bad happening in the world and they look at it with a good eye. They don't judge anybody bad." Someone comes and disrespects them, they pray for them immediately. They don't have any thoughts of, I'm going to get him back, I'm going to make sure he hears it, I'm going to make sure he pays for that. None of those bad things go through their mind at all. Their nature, their natural inclination is to be good. Ad shekayam atariyag mitzvot besimcha me'ava, until they're doing all 613 mitzvot from joy and from love. Bli giurei yetzara klal, without any of the problems that come with the yetzara. Sleep in a little, 20 more minutes longer. Don't read until the end. You know, rush out of synagogue. All these small things that come from the Yetzer Hara when we're trying to grow. Once they don't have any of those things at all, yanizdakecha chomer legamre, meaning that the physicality has been completely rectified. Like David the Melech said, "Velibi chalal bekirbi," my heart is vacant in my midst. What did he mean? The rabbis teach us that the left side of the heart is the resting place of the Yetzara, of the evil inclination, and the right side is the resting place of the good inclination. When David HaMelech says, "Libi chalal bekirbi," my heart is vacant, is empty in my midst, he's talking about the eviction letter that he gave to the Yetzara. You no longer are able to live here. My heart is pure now to Hashem. It's empty. Empty of what? Empty of evil inclinations. Empty of any kind of voice that's pulling me away from Hashem. And it appears as if all of these good midot are inside of the person. From the day he left his mother. I mean, you come and you meet a person, you see they're a tzaddik, but you see like it looks like they've never sinned in their whole entire life. That they've been pure their whole entire life. Ze nikra chasid gamur. That's called a complete chasid. Chassid again, not Baal Shem Tov Chassid, Chassidut. Chassid from the word pious. Chassid from the word very, very righteous.
I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
What is the Hebrew for the good inclination?
Yetzaratov.
Yetzaratov. Yetzaratov, like, translates
to formation. Yeah.
Formation.
What we actually use it, the actual translation, not the literal translation, is inclination.
Is there a connection to the Kabbalistic world, the
Yetzirah? Yeah, Yetzirah is all about the world of emotion. Ava, Yetzirah, the world of Yetzirah, the work in the world of Yetzirah, mentally, emotionally, when you're praying, if you ever find yourself in the world of Yetzirah, mm-hmm. That means that you need to be focusing right now on love, awe, and dvekut. That's the work of the world of Yetzirah. So too, now take it back. We're talking about the heart. Love, mm-hmm. awe, and vacant. All of that happens in the chest, in the heart. So yes, it all comes down to that. It is these pulls and these inclinations. Do I do the right thing? Do the wrong thing? Do I love good? Do I love bad? Do I fear good? Do I fear bad? All of that is exactly there. You're right, the emotions. Big connection.
Thank you.
And he continues, Klala ole. The rule that comes out of this, ki kiyum tariag mitzvot al yedei hiyot yetzara ba'adam, ba'adam itgaber alav, nikra tzadik. If you do the mitzvot, you keep the Torah, right? Whenever we say keep 613 mitzvot, it doesn't obviously mean all 613. It's impossible for every Jew to do that. But it is possible in the way of accepting all 613 on you, aspiring to want to do it, learning about them, whether you can do it or not, and praying that all of it should have a connection to you. Again, your body is made up of 613 parts, your soul is made up of 613 parts, and the Torah is made up of 613 parts. We want to have unison between all of them, like Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzera says, Rabbi Yaakov. But sometimes that can only be done by way of speech and thought and desire, because again, you shouldn't have to get divorced in life. Most of us are not Kohanim, we're not in the temple. A lot of the mitzvot really are irrelevant now in practice, but they're not in thought and they're not in prayer, because a lot of them we want to pray to be able to do again. We want a temple in Jerusalem again. We want Kohanim to go back. We want Levim to go back. We want to be able to come to Jerusalem and celebrate there and have all these mitzvot mean much more. So all of them are relative, but you can accept the Torah. When you accept the Torah, so to say, you're tapping into all 613. When you wear tzitzit, even though it's a choice to wear them, you don't have any obligation to wear them, you're reminding yourself of all 613. So a person who keeps the mitzvot, while they still have a yetzara, and they fight the yetzara to be able to do the right thing, that's called a tzaddik. A righteous person. What is he doing? He has a battle, and he makes Hashem righteous. He does the right thing in life. That's a tzaddik. When you do the same things by way of nullifying the yetzara, that means that you have a complete acquisition of good traits, that they've become now a complete nature. That's what's called a chassid gemur. So a chassid, in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, is higher than a tzaddik. Again, people might be watching this and have questions on the Tanya. The Tanya goes into length in describing what is a tzaddik, what is a tzaddik gemur, what is a tzaddik etovlo, tzaddik veravlo, benoni, right? And all these different levels. This is not talking about what the Tanya has to say. This is talking, first of all, quotes from Rav Chaim Vital, which much more aligns with what classically Lashon HaKodesh and the Torah and the Talmud have to say about these levels. A tzaddik is a person that does the majority of the time the right thing. Right? The Torah gives you commandments in life. 50.01% of the time you do the right thing. By the time you die, or at that moment, you'll be called a tzaddik. Right? Obviously, still there's objective tzaddikim in the world. There are those people that are completely rectified and purified, and not everybody that does the majority of the thing, the right thing the majority of the time, is called really objectively a tzaddik. But the Torah speaks as a whole. A person that does the right thing is righteous. Majority of the time, if you're doing the right thing, you're a righteous person, right? And then there's what's called a chassid. A chassid in the Torah, in the words of David HaMelech, in the words of Chazal, is a very, very high, holy person, what we call in our generation a tzaddik. Right? The tzaddikim of the generation, back in the day, would be called chassidim. Now, since we have the Baal Shem Tov movement, the Hasidic movement, which was inspired by those first people, those Hasidim of the times of the Torah, so that's where the name came from. What does the word Chesed mean? Love. But it also means expansion, above and beyond. God said to not destroy the hair here. The Hasid lengthens it there. Right? God said to pray once a day in the Torah. When you have a time of need, the chassid goes above and beyond and spends his day in prayer. Right? It's always that's why the Hasidic movement is called the Hasidic movement, of going above and beyond, because the original pious people used to go above and beyond, like it says in the Gemara. Chassidim rishonim ayu shoim sha'achad, mitpalelim sha'achad, yodim sha'achad. The original chassidim, this is written 2,000 something years ago, right? So it's not talking about the Baal Shem Tov's movement. When they would come to pray, they would be present an hour, pray for an hour, and come down for an hour. That's chassidut. That's piety. That's, okay, if I need to pray for an hour to my God, how much time do I need to prepare for that? To clean my mind of all the bills and all the nonsense that I have to take care of in this world, and to really come to a place where I'm completely nullified before I step into the chambers to talk to God. That I'm not thinking about the bills I have to pay. I'm not thinking about the grocery list my wife gave me and all these different things I have to do. I'm thinking about God and the words that are written in front of me. So again, that's the Hasidim. But here, in the time of the Rav Chaim Vital, is still prior to the Hasidic movement of the Baal Shem Tov. And he's coming to say, a person that does the right thing, while still fighting his Yetzara, that's called the Tzaddik. A person who he has no Yetzara, where the Yetzara Tov is his natural inclination, that's called the Chassid. Go ahead. Chassid Gemur.
Coming down for an hour, because we said the Amid, the Aleinu, and that brings us back down.
From after, no. We start coming down immediately after we finish the Amidah.
Okay.
In Shacharit, you're ascending in all of Tefillah. But in Shacharit, let's take it for example, from Korbanot, from the Akedah of Yitzhak,
Yes. You're
ascending worlds. You go through the world of Asiya until you get to Baruch Shamar. And Baruch Shamar, you start the world of Yetzirah. Right? Then Asiya, you're focusing on bringing the animals closer. That's why you're talking about animal sacrifices and sacrifices in general and incense offering. You're attaching and bringing the animalistic side closer. Then from Baruch Shamar until the blessings of Shema, you are in the world of Yetzirah, which is all about developing your emotions, like we just spoke about. Ahava, Ira, Dvekut, right? Attaching yourself to Hashem from the words of Tehillim. That's why it's called Psikui de Zimra, the Psalms of Cutting. You're cutting away all the blockages around your heart towards God. By the words of David HaMelech, you put yourself inside those words of Tehillim, and you open your heart up to connect to Hashem. And then when you say Baruch Hu and you start the blessings of the Shema, you go into the world of Bria. The world of Bria is the world of the mind, the world of passion, of hard work and contemplation and the greatness of God in order to nullify yourself to Hashem. And then when you get into the Amidah, you're already in the world of Atzilut. You're already by Hashem, so to say, you don't exist. You cease to exist. The words flowing through your mouth are all just the prayers of God to Himself coming through your mouth down here. 19 things that we have to pray for in this world, regardless of whether you need them or not. That's the way of the world, and we're just downloading the intellect into the world. And then from there, you start a progression down, again, through those four worlds, bringing all that Shefa that you got in Atzilut, that you got when you were next to Hashem in Amidah, bringing it down. And it progresses, the descension of bringing all that Shefa down goes all the way to Aleinu.
Yeah, but what do they do when I've heard before, like the hour meditation.
You can't compare our prayer to them. They didn't have the same prayer. So what would they do? Whatever prayer meant, that prayer was Yidbodidut back then. So they prepared for Yidbodidut for an hour, talked to Hashem for an hour, and came down from that experience for an hour. Like a person goes to a psychedelic experience, they need time to integrate and come back down from it. So too, if you pray to God that strongly, after an hour of nullifying yourself, then an hour in front of God, you need time to come back down.
So it's an hour of integration.
Correct.
Okay.
Right? Rav Chaim Vital continues and said, Od yesh madrigat chasidut lemala mizo. There's another level of piety, even higher than that. She'en lemala mimena. That there's nothing higher than it. It's higher than a person that serves Hashem from a place of natural goodness in his heart. There's still a level higher than that, but there's nothing higher than that. This person is called holy. Vehi, that is, shekol kavanata enna ella lemafarek leshchinta. The whole entire idea, the whole entire person, that being, that this person that's called kadosh, has one thing on his mind: to elevate the shechina out of the dust. Not for him, not to do mitzvot, not to get it to a good place. I have one thing on my mind: to elevate the shechina out of its dust. If he thought for a second of receiving any reward in this world and the world to come, then he's already called a chassid to himself. He's pious, but to himself. Meaning he wants something out of it. Even on the finest levels, right? We're all extremely far from this, so just imagine the type of people we're talking about. But there's levels even there. But a person who does chesed to his creator, to his master, he's called Chassid Vekadosh. Like the Baal Shem Tov was teaching us before, our whole entire intention should be only ever to give Nachat Ruach to Hashem, to make Hashem happy, to make Hashem proud of the world that He created, that things should go right here. So a person that is so holy, that his whole entire intention is just to elevate the Shekhinah, just for there to be more honor of God in the world, right? So then he's called Chassid and Kadosh. He's doing everything from a natural place of only having good inside of him, and his whole entire intention is only to elevate the honor of God in the world. Yan ki nizdakech mikol minei tuma. This person has been purified of all different types of tuma, of impurity. Vekidesh atzmo bekedushato itbarach, and he sanctified himself in the sanctity and the holiness of God himself. כי עושה עצמו מרכבה לקדושתו, התברך, ואינו חושש לכבוד עצמו. He makes himself a vehicle of expression for God's honor, and he doesn't think about himself at all. אלא לכבוד קונו. All he thinks about is honoring Hashem. And there were tzaddikim like this in the world. There are tzaddikim in this world, like this in the world. In every generation, that their honor is not their own honor. And that's why also we have to know this, it's an important rule. If a person disrespects a Talmid Chacham, say you go up to a rabbi and curse him out, he's not allowed to forgive you. Why? After everything we said, what's in his mind?
What did you say? He gets to a level where he's a vessel of God, so it's like even Hashem.
Correct. Does he have any honor himself? When people honor a Talmid Chacham, who are they honoring?
God.
Why then that person? Because he knows about God more than other people. He's connected to God all day long. The light of God is on him. He knows about God. He learns God. He's God all day long. So when you disrespect him, who are you disrespecting? God. So then he can't forgive you. Crazy thing. I know a story. It was in Jerusalem. We went around. I've told it here before. It was in Jerusalem. There's a person that for many years he didn't have children. He had children, and then for many years they couldn't have children. And then the Lubavitch Rebbe came to him in a dream and told him, the reason in heaven that you can't have children is because once when you're in yeshiva, in like high school level yeshiva, your friends were all making jokes about me, and you laughed and you didn't say anything. They're holding that against you in the heavens. I would love to forgive you, but it's not my honor. You have to do tshuva. And disrespecting the Talmid Chacham, disrespecting Hashem. He did it, had children, and he asked for every single Alon Shabbat, all those Shabbat pamphlets and all the shuls, he like paid for every single one of them in Jerusalem to print this story. The Rebbe of Lubavitch came to him in a dream and said, I have no problem with you. I understand it wasn't intentional this, I forgive you, but in Shemayim, until you do tshuva, you're not having children. He did tshuva and he got pregnant. They got pregnant. It's not a game, right? Because again, the Talmid Chacham is nullified to Hashem. So when you disrespect him, it's not even on him. You're talking about Hashem. You're disrespecting Hashem. That's a scary thing to do. Very, very scary thing not to get into. V'azeh nitkaven Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. This is the intention of the father-in-law of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, of Pinchas ben Yair, buried here in Tzfat. V'mesh amar, prishut mevi'a lidei ta'ara. He said, prishut, separating yourself from people, separating yourself from the world, brings a person to purity. V'kedusha lidei chasidut, sanctity, holiness, brings a person to chasidut, to being above and beyond with the letter of the law. V'chasidut lidei ruach hakodesh, chasidut brings a person to ruach hakodesh, this is 1/60th of prophecy, divine intuition. Ki nitabek bo dibuk gamur. At that point, you're already clinging yourself to Hashem. Then obviously there's information flowing down. Right? The goal of prophecy was attached to Hashem. The outcome of being attached to Hashem is knowing the future, knowing the past, knowing the present, having information flow through you. Prophecy wasn't about the information, it wasn't about the message, it was about connection to Hashem. The outcome of that is downloads of deep information. There were prophets that God spoke to them purely to speak to other people. But there was 1.2 million prophets in Israel at a certain point. Not all of them had a message for the Jews. Some of them were just themselves connected to Hashem so deeply, and they got downloads. It was never about the download. It was about attaching yourself to Hashem. So that a person gets to this level where they're in chasidut, and then they get Ruach HaKodesh. How do they get Ruach HaKodesh? A person who's the chasid, who's so attached to Hashem, and they're so separated from this world, and all they think about is Hashem, so they're in a relationship with Hashem. So they get the messages, they get the information, they get the downloads. And in the words of the Baal HaTanya, now we're going to the Baal HaTanya. Tzadik gamur nefach hara shelo letov. The tzadik gamur, the complete tzadik, takes the negativity that he has inside of him and transmutes it, transforms it into good. Al yedei asarat habigadim atzorim legamrei me'ara, by way of removing completely all of the filthy clothing, meaning all of the bad. Just completely separating yourself from the bad. What's filthy clothing? All of the bad things that we did. All of the bad things we thought. All the bad things we said. All the twisted ways that were not aligned with the Torah. Reb Nachman has a Torah about this. They have to jump into the river, the Jordan, to get off of their filthy clothing. Same thing, the Jordan River is the border of Kedusha. Yerad Nun. Nun fell down. The 50th gates of holiness fell down. It's the border of Israel, the Yarden. Rabbi Nachman talks about how a person has to go inside the Yarden and clean their clothing, remove all of this, everything that's holding them back from connecting to Hashem. And what does that mean practically? You have to remove the clothing to the level where you're disgusted by evil. You're disgusted by things that go against Hashem. Disgusting. It's like nasty to you. And I remember once I went to Tel Aviv, and someone tried to bring me back into a club. It's like, imagine the thing. I'm with Peyot, walking through Tel Aviv, past a club I used to promote for. And the people that I know are outside the club, and they're trying to get me, come, let's do a l'chaim, come on, okay, it's fine, you have a kippah, just come. Said there, whatever, it's okay, you used to work here, just come to a l'chaim. I felt like throwing up. I was disgusted by the place. Not them, it's not the bad people. It's okay people. The image of me being back inside that club with kippah and peyot and tzitzit on it and taking a l'chaim with friends, I felt like throwing up. It was disgusting in my eyes. Why? And there's other things that I'm not exactly over, right? I'm not saying I'm a tzaddik. I'm not. But in certain ideas, I am a tzaddik. In certain things, each one of us is. Certain things that we used to do that we will not tolerate anymore. You rectified yourself in that area. Right? That invitation back into the club was so nasty to me. I was like, ugh, God forbid, right? I got the chills, I remember. This is the level, this is what it means to remove your filthy clothes. The things that used to be clothing, things that used to walk around in the street with, things that used to be okay for you. I can't do that anymore. I can't wear that anymore. I could never be seen in public wearing that anymore. Anything that Baal HaTanya says, anything that's from the other side, from the Sitra Acha, from the forces of evil, you hate it at the end all be all of hate. That's what his words. Sono'o betachlit asina. It's disgusting to you, it's pushed away, you can't have it around you, you don't tolerate it, you don't want anything to do with it. And he continues, V'tzadik she'eno gamur, a tzadik who is not complete, who is not completely rectified, hu she'eno sone betachlit asina. It's someone that doesn't hate all the bad things with the end all be all of hatred. V'lechen eno ma'uz v'ra betachlit, therefore he doesn't completely get disgusted by negative things. V'kol she'en asina betachlit, as long as you don't have full hatred for negative things, that means you have a little bit of love for them. It's a given. You haven't completely, fully removed your dirty clothing. That's why the traits inside of you haven't completely been transformed into good. You still have a little bit of a grasp on those negative things. You still love the beach a little bit. There's no problem with the beach, right? If it's pure, if it's tsanua, but begadim hotzoim eleshu batel b'miuto v'kelo chashiv. It's not like I completely conquered them. It's just they're nullified and they're like, so to say, not important. V'ma'alat tzadik gamur hu shema'afchin hara u'ma'alim oto letov. The level of a tzadik gamur, a complete tzadik, is that he takes that bad and elevates it and it becomes good. There is no more bad. There is no inclination to go to the beach. There is no inclination to not wake up for Shacharit. It doesn't come through. You wake up in the morning, you get up. You wake yourself up. You're on game, right? None of this, oh, I don't feel like it right now. No, there's none of that. Those thoughts don't go through that person's mind. They mamash take all of their negative, all of their inclinations, and they elevate them to be mamash good. It's also written in the 15th chapter of the Tanya, Ha'efresh ben oved elokim letzadik. What's the difference between a person who serves God and a tzadik? Shoved u'loshon lashon hove. Oved elokim, a person who serves Hashem, that's the present. Oved is now. He's right now serving Hashem. He's in the middle of his avod. He's doing work right now. What's the work? The battle with the Yetzara. He's Oved Elokim, he's serving God, he's in the process of working. What's the work? Getting over the Yetzara. Aval Tzadik nikra Eved Hashem b'shem HaTo'ar. The Tzadik, when he's called Eved Hashem, it's a title. It's a, what's To'ar, Shem HaTo'ar? Open that book really quick, right? What's the English of it? The orange book, the Hebrew book. What's Shem HaTo'ar? Doctor, teacher?
No.
Noun?
Pronoun.
Pronoun?
Like a person.
Yeah.
Pronoun.
Exactly. So Hashem HaTorah, pronoun. When we're called Oved Elokim, all of us are called Oved Elokim, right? We are people that are serving God. We're in the process of conquering our negative traits and becoming better. So we're doing avoda. We're working right now. We're on the job. When we call a tzaddik, like Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, it's called Eved Hashem, the slave of Hashem. Not because he's doing avoda. That's his pronoun. That's his essence. Not because now he's working and trying to flip the bad into the good. No, he's a slave of Hashem. And maybe I'm not giving it over right. In Hebrew, it comes off much easier. I don't know. Is it coming down or not? The difference.
No, it's like his title.
His title. It's not what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right? He's not in the process of changing his bad into good. He has already done that. Therefore, he merits it to the title of slave of God. Not because right now he's working. It's a title that he gets. It's hard to say it, but I hope you guys are understanding what I'm saying. He already became, right? It's like a person that it's called a chacham, a sage, a wise person, or a king. The king is not called the king because now he's king. He's ruling over the kingdom. He's called the king because he became a king. He is a king. Right? Even after, like, the president of the United States, even after he leaves office, he's called president. Mr. President. Why? You don't have to be working right now. You earned that title. You became that thing. So too. Right? The Eved Elokim, the person serving Hashem, is called that because he's in the middle of the work of transforming the bad inside of him into good, rectifying his body, purifying the physicality. The tzaddik is called an Eved Hashem because he is that. He earned the title. Like a king, like a sage. He already completed the whole entire war. Ad ki v'girshu v'elechlo v'libo halal b'kirbo. He expelled him, he walked away, he left him, and now his heart is vacant in his midst. All of this gets explained also in the Zohar. And the Zohar says, tzadikaya deled behu zuamon denachash. The tzaddik that doesn't have inside of him the defilement, the pollution of the snake. Right? From the primordial sin. Every one of us has a little piece in it, of that inside of us. We had it removed when we received the Torah, and then we got it right back when we danced around the calf. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the giving of the Torah, got us to a level where he mamash managed to get the defilement of the snake out of us. And then it came back. The tzaddik, right? The Zohar says, tzaddikaya, the tzaddikim, the leit behu zuamad the nachash, the ones that don't have any defilement of the nachash. Itavid b'kedusha u'bracha ve'yichud. They all serve in kedusha, bracha, and yichud, which is the letters. Kobi. By the way, your name is. You have a vav in your name or no vav?
I have a vav.
So without the vav, without the vav, it's one of the holiest things. Kedusha, bracha, and yichud. Yabok, baki, baki baratzov, baki bashov. It's the whole kavanah of elu. Haredu tshuva. Hanoten b'yam derech. Called the Yam Darkecha. It's all connected to your name. Kiddusha, Bracha, and Ichud.
What can the Vav be?
And. And Kiddusha, Bracha, and Ichud. Right? We want to connect all of that, Kiddusha, Bracha, and Ichud, back to Hashem. The Vav is always the hook, always the connector.
So holy blessings, unity.
Correct. But not the unity meaning the Ichud of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem. Oneness, not unity.
Oneness.
Meaning, even when I'm down in the dumps, Hashem is there. And even when I'm super successful, Hashem is there. Not unity amongst the brethren. That's not the intention. The intention is, God is one no matter where you experience yourself and where you find yourself. It's the same God. He still loves you, and He's still there. The Zohar continues, Zaka'in inun tzadikaya dechulahu kadishin. How fortunate are those tzadikim, those people, that they're completely holy. That they always are found standing in a point of purity in front of the Holy King. And they have Ruach HaKodesh resting on them in this world and in the world to come. They have Kedusha on them at all times. Zakayin inun tzadikaya dahu kulohun kadishin gufa delon kadisha nafsha delon kadisha ucha delon kadisha nishmata delon kadosh kadashim. How fortunate is the tzaddik that he's all holy, his body is holy, his nefesh is holy, his ruach is holy, his soul is kodesh kadashim, holy of holies. Another source from the Zohar. Man hu tzaddik de'iu itabak be ahu de'iu kalil mikol midot de'kut shabrichu. Who is the tzaddik? Whoever is attached to Hashem and he's included inside of him all of the traits of Hashem. like the Tomer Devora teaches us, right? The 13 attributes of mercy. Tomer Devora is extremely important to learn now, all throughout the year, but especially now. It teaches you how to walk with the traits of Hashem. And how fortunate is a person that you, like we learned in Tomer Devora, you're already made up in the image of Yudke Vavke. You already have your head, your arms, your chest, and your legs. You already are made up in this image, spiritually and physically. Now, what are you going to do when it comes to the acting? How do you act in the world? Do you emulate God? Do you live like God in the world? That's the most important part. You want to keep pushing on this topic, or we take a little break?
Keep pushing.
Yeah? Alright. So that was the first section. What is the tzaddik that we should be trying to connect to? Who are they? People that don't have negativity in their hearts. Again, this is always, I'm stepping out of the book, I'm saying something out of the book. This was always relative. Meaning, if you're a person in the beginning of your path and you have people that you know that are a few years ahead of you in the path, for you they're tzaddikim. They could have bad traits, but their bad traits are nothing like yours. Doing that with people that you know, friends and things like that, will teach you that when you come across a true tzaddik, you'll realize as well. Right? Because again, we can't judge these people like the same way we judge ourselves. What we might think is ego, for them is not ego. That's their humility, is to embrace who they are. Like Moshe knew he was the king. You're not going to talk to the king in a certain way. And if the king tells you off for talking to that way, that doesn't mean he's not humble. The opposite. He might be exactly tapping into his humility when he tells you, one more word, I'm taking your head off. That might be his humility. Right? It doesn't mean to run away from, to be pushed down. So we can't judge tzaddikim because sometimes we see them doing things that are, we don't understand, we don't get where it's coming from, but there is a calculation and there is a reason and there is a need. So too, the same thing can happen with your friends. If you have a friend that's holier than you at least, you might think he's doing something you don't understand it, you don't get, you can't judge these things, right? In general, we shouldn't judge people negatively, specifically with tzaddikim and people that are holier than us. Tzaddik u mahut acheret legamoy. That's what we're going to talk about right now. The tzaddik is a completely different essence. The rabbi said, it's in Moed Katan, Im dome arav lemalach Hashem tzvakot, yivakshu Torah mipiu. If your rabbi is similar to Malach Hashem tzvakot, an angel of Hashem, so you should ask Torah from his mouth. Meaning, a true rabbi tzrich liot mahut acheret legamoy. Has to be in a completely different essence. What is the rabbi telling us? If the rabbi is like an angel of God, then ask Torah from him. K'melach ben bnei Adam. He's like an angel amongst people. Ki tzaddik emet, a true tzaddik, u'mahut acheret lagamrei me'adam ragil. The essence of a person, of a tzaddik, is completely different essence than a regular person. Meaning they're both human beings, but the second he gets that job, that role in this world, objectively speaking, he's a tzaddik, he might as well be an angel amongst humans. He's completely purified from the bad. We can't even imagine not having bad thoughts. Right? Think about it, really. We can't imagine getting slapped across the face and not thinking anything bad. We can't. Even that thought is hard for us. But there are people in the world like that. Until he completely becomes a vehicle of expression to the Shekhinah. Without any grasp of bad in there. For sure the tzaddikim weren't born with a different essence than you. They aren't actually angels. They're human beings just like every single one of us. They worked so hard in purifying themselves that they became a different essence. They changed their whole entire makeup internally. Right? Take hardships in life and always turn back to Hashem. Always pray to Hashem. Everything you go through, you pay back to Hashem. Any success in life, you give it back to Hashem. Everything in your life, you take back to Hashem. Anybody comes to disrespect you, you talk to Hashem. Like David the Melech, king, is walking through, gets cursed out by people. What does he say? Don't touch him. Hashem sent him to curse me out. What? That's a level, right? Meaning I don't even see bad. Hashem sent the person. Hashem did it. That changes your essence inside. Ki af sheyesh dargot rabot ben bnei adam. There's many levels between people, right? Not everybody's same. Not everybody's on the same level. There are levels. Aval oved Hashem ragil, a regular person like us that's serving Hashem, gam im hu yoter mizukach mechaveru, even if he is more pure than another person, they're still in the same essence. Right? At their core, they're still the same. They're in the same league. Ela shehu yoter ichuti. He's just more quality than his friend. Right? Aval yesh zikuch gamur. But there is what's called pure rectification. Shal yedo nasa mahut acheret. That the person changes their essence, completely changes at their core. Until it comes to the point that put these two human beings together, one is an angel and one is a human. Right? So you can have a bunch of holy friends, like I was saying before we got into this topic, that yeah, your friend's holier than you, you look up to him, you treat him, you respect him. Why? Because yeah, he's further in the game than me. I want to learn from him, I want to receive from him. But me and him are still in the same league, right? Then there's the tzaddik. When he comes, both of us become receptors to a bigger light. We both get nullified. And then, I promise you, take that same tzaddik, bring him now. Two regular people, the tzaddik who's like an angel, bring Hashem into the picture, all three of them are zero. All three of them are in the same league again, compared to Hashem's light, right? This is how the world goes, this is how it is. La'avdil elef alfei avdalot. I saw a basketball player once, talking, a retired basketball player, and someone challenged him to play one-on-one. And he obviously destroyed him. NBA player is an NBA player. There's only 450 of them in the world at any given time. They're the best basketball players in the whole entire world. Retired or not, it doesn't matter. The guy was in the NBA. And at the end of the game, he says, "What? I thought you were like, you know, a bench warmer. You weren't such a good player." He said, "My brother, I'm closer to LeBron than you are to me." Right? Meaning, the best player in the whole entire world, I'm much closer to him than you could ever imagine being to me. So here it's the opposite of the way around, right? Us as all of us friends, we're all in the same league. And then there's people walking in our nation that are just like angels walking amongst us, right? It's completely different. So here I am to say, as a retired NBA player, I'm closer to you guys than I am to any of the tzaddikim, right? And just because I'm sitting here in front of a camera doesn't mean anything. It's just like you said here, I happen to have worked on some things and learned some Torahs. So I can sit here in front of a room and give over some Torah. But we are much closer than I am to any of these tzaddikim, right? Proportions are extremely important, and to know the hierarchy of things. And to not, I'm not trying to fool anybody here. I'm not some tzaddik or anything. I just really love teaching Torah. I connect to it. I love doing it. Right? But there are people out there that don't have bad. I promise you, if I get slapped across the face, I might answer physically as well. I'm not a rectified person. Who am I? I try my best to be good and to teach Torah in a balanced way. But I'm definitely not a tzaddik, right? To not get these things twisted, there's levels to these things. And there's people here that have rectified themselves to they go through the exact same situation and only good thoughts come out. Only good thoughts come out. But the truth is that every person inside of them on their own level can conquer certain aspects of their life like the biggest tzaddikim, right? I can tell you for sure in my life, I will not break Shabbat intentionally. It won't happen. When I was just doing tshuva, there was times, yeah, maybe that party, this, I go to that friend's house, okay, the TV's on, but I won't watch it. Now, I do not want to be in anywhere where there's a TV, a phone, and I don't want to be around that on Shabbat. Right? So in that aspect of my life, yeah, okay, there's levels of rectification. But they're still bad. There's still an inclination. There's still a tie. There's still a... Because that's the nature of people. V'gam mi shelo mesig et ha'inyan hazeh, even a person who doesn't understand this idea, צריך לפחות להבין ולהאמין שצדיק אמת אין לו תאוות. Even if you don't understand this, you have to at least believe, understand and believe that there are people in the world that don't have lusts. Like I said, for most of us, we can't imagine what that means to get hit in the face and not react, or not even have a thought, a bad thought to come through your mind. But we should believe and understand that there are people in the world that it's possible, that it could be done. ואין לו צורך בכבוד. We're talking about a person that doesn't have any need to receive respect, and they're completely nullified to Hashem. This is the point of the idea. This is the whole point. How much are you purified and nullified? That will teach you how much are you able to receive the supernal lights that are coming down to this world. Example of this. You can know of a person that's very, very involved in a very this world thing. Let's say sports, right? A person completely, they're a fanatic for a team, they're full in sports is their life, the sports league, everything, they live the team, they והנה אם תאמר לאחד מהם שיש אחרים, שזה עניין הוא הבל גמור בעיניהם, הלא לא יאמין. Go to that football fanatic and you say, you know there's people in the world that think that football and teams and nonsense is complete nonsense, complete stupidity, like the most mundane thing you can believe. It's not going to believe. Ah, God forbid to say that about football. No, how could anybody in the world live without football? רק יכול להאמין שיש כאלה שפחות מעניין אותם. I could believe there's people that it interests them less. But to say at all that they're not interested at all, אבל לומר שיש כאלה שכלל אינו מעניין אותם, לזה לא יסכים. The football fanatic cannot agree that someone in the world completely doesn't like football. Likes it less, but completely rejects it. It's very hard for them to believe. כי הוא כל כך משוקע בזה. He's so invested, so in football leagues and in the fanatic world, the hooligan world, that he can't believe that there's someone that doesn't care about it at all. Less, okay, I can understand. עד שאי אפשר לתפוס, אי אפשר לא לתפוס שיש מציאות אחרת. אבל מי שמחוץ לזה, הלא לועג לזה, כך הוא בכל מידות ותאוות. Whoever, right, as long as he's in it, he can't imagine that there's a different reality. But whoever doesn't like football, whoever doesn't have a favorite team, doesn't know all the players, he looks at this guy like a joke. Like, well, come on, bro. There's a whole world out there. Not everything comes down to your sports team. Majority of people in the world don't even know your sports team. There's a whole world out there. So how do you look at that person? You like, not even like against them, but you're like, they're laughing at his situation. Like, you think that's the world, that everybody has a connection to football? Same thing with lusts and with traits. We all look and you think, there's someone in the world that doesn't have a drive for sexuality? What? It's hard for us to believe. Not at all? He doesn't care about his honor at all? It can't be. It's hard for us to even imagine this, because we're in it. We live it. We're not the sports fanatic, but we are jerks sometimes. We lack patience. We lack tolerance. We have tons of ego. Positive, up ego, down ego, right? We want to fight. We have traits inside of us. We have inclinations that pull us left and right. And it's hard to believe that there's someone in the world that completely doesn't have it. To think he has it less than me, okay. All right, so he worked on his honor. He needs less honor than me. To think he doesn't have any honor at all, it's a high level. It's a high level. And I'm here to tell you, and so is the books, there are people like this in the world. There are. And we have to connect to them, and we have to learn from them. I'm going to stop here. The next time we pick it up, we're going to talk about the levels of tzaddikim, the different levels, and the need for connecting to previous tzaddikim from previous generations as well. And that in every generation, we still have tzaddikim. We still have tzaddikim. And then in the end, we'll learn how to receive from the tzaddik. What can we do in order to receive from the tzaddik? And with that, we'll finish. So we have two more classes in this series of connecting to tzaddikim. B'zat Hashem, we'll keep doing it. This is important topics. This is important things to know. Because this is the way of life. There's certain people that they set the path, right? They clarified, they cleared the path for us to get into the world. And without them, it's hard to walk the path. You could do it yourself. We're not Christians. You don't have to pray to any human beings. But we are Jews. And their idea of praying to a human being came from a bastardized version of connecting yourself to holy people. That's what the Torah wanted you. ויאמינו באדוני ובמשה עבדו is part of the Torah. Believing in Hashem and in Moshe. That's how it goes. God forbid to pray to Moshe. God forbid to make Moshe into God. Right? But we do need a relationship with holy people. And all of us, I'm sure, you can testify on yourself how your life changed the more you got closer to people that were more refined, more pure. And not only that, if you want to take it from a pure selfish growth side, we mentioned him already, we'll mention him again. Shemin Shaim Yokav. LeBron James. LeBron James, number one basketball player in the whole entire world. How many coaches does he have? How many people does LeBron pay to tell him what to do in his life to make him better? Nutritionist, physiotherapy, massage, weights, shooting coach, defense coach, body coach.
Hundreds.
Hundreds of people, right? It used to be. 15 years ago, when he was younger, he was spending $1 million a year on his body. Now I'm sure that number has grown, right? Business advisors. How many people? Why? LeBron wants to be the number one person in the world. So he invests in himself. so too, don't you think you need some spiritual guides in your life? Don't you think a person that can coach you a little bit more in halacha, coach you a little bit more in connecting to Hashem, coach you in how to do business in a holy way, coach you in how to get married in a holy way? There's many facets of life that you should be talking to people that have done it, or at least know how to do it. If the number one person that wants to be a king himself, calls himself a king in this world, if he is investing his own money, hard-earned money, and making himself better after 23 years in this world, what are we doing? We need these things, right? La'avdil, we have to, like the Baal Shem Tov says, we have to learn from everything in the world. That's one chizuk I can get from LeBron James, right? Hire people. Aseh lecha rav, like we learned in Pirkei Avot yesterday, aseh lecha rav, make for yourself a rabbi. Get people in life that can guide you through life and use them. It's not just you hear from them, you listen to the classes. Reach out, make a connection, ask the harder questions, ask the deeper questions. Have the one-on-ones, have the sit-downs. Because this is how you grow. This is how you grow, Bezat Hashem. Any questions? Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.